interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
The sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here's one tonight from Orlando, Florida. Right now, they say more teens there are smoking. What are they smoking? Coffee, believe it or not. That's right. They say more teens are smoking coffee rather than drinking it. It has become a trend in Florida. And it seems unsafe, with users reporting hallucinations, vomiting, dizziness, and trouble breathing. One person who puffed coffee a couple years back said it was the stupid idea of the week, but a middle-aged cafe customer said that with the U.S. about to legalize marijuana, I think we can live with a few beanheads. No geezer would ever do this, and that's part of the charm of it. When you're young, it is fun to do stupid stuff, and I have no desire to smoke coffee. I don't even drink it that much, but that's just the beginning of the weird news that we have to share with you tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. Hey, I got some good stuff from Juan Valdez over here in the back room. If you want some, man, come on, 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 man. You know you want it. Come on, Josh. You know you want some of this.
I'm in Puerto Rico. I've got more coffee than I can handle down here. I mean, you know, that's the big thing. Coffee and sugar were always the big industries here. And it's a shame that I'm not a big coffee drinker because there are some very fine cafes here. But, Forrest, have you ever heard of smoking it before?
I have not.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's very strange, we'll just keep reading the news stories and we'll let other people enjoy that. You know, Forrest, I want to mention here right off the bat, and we hate to put a negative spin on things, but it is the month of April.
Bad month of April.
Last Saturday, I was talking about the propensity for bad things to happen in April, and look what's happened already.
Not even a weekend, or just over a weekend.
That's right, another shooting.
Not even a weekend.
No. Another shooting at Fort Hood. And there was a big earthquake in Chile, right?
Correct.
We're just barely getting started here. Does that frighten you, Shelley Wright, investigator from Wright's Coin Shop, knowing that you're, by the way, a coffee drinker as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and I am enjoying my cup of joe that I brewed right before I drove to the studio tonight.
Okay, so but you're not a coffee smoker.
No, I am not a coffee smoker.
Shelley Wright, are you worried about the month of April?
No. Nothing scares me. You know.
Well, here's
if any month to be worried, this would be the month I would worry.
I have a feeling that some of the weird stuff that may be about to happen might end up involving Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. And that's one of the things that we're going to dig into on tonight's program. And by the way, this is one of those shows that should be twice as long. This should be a six-hour show tonight because, I mean, I have just been scrambling up to the last minute with new news and information and data coming in from our research team. So many crazy things to dig into tonight. But you guys may or may not know that something very weird is happening right now in the world of finance. Just so far this year, at least 8 major bankers worldwide have committed suicide. Now, that's just the ones who've committed suicide. A bunch of other major bankers have died mysteriously. One guy got hit and killed, hit and run. But this latest one I have here is from the New York Post. It's a 28-year-old Manhattan investment banker died in an apparent suicide. They say that he was found dead on the sidewalk outside of his East Side building after allegedly jumping from the 6th-story roof. Why do all these bankers like to jump from the roof of buildings?
I don't know. They always do.
It reminds me of the Hudsucker proxy. So you have all these people in finance who are killing themselves. And now we also have this situation where the American dollar is in a precarious state. Because now that we are putting some sanctions on Russia, the Russians are taking this as an opportunity to start switching away from the American dollar and start escalating the value of the ruble, which is going to be based more on gold. Okay, so you've got the fact that most U.S. currency is nowadays based on petroleum business, and we're not on a gold standard anymore. But the Russians are bringing gold back up into trade. Now, I find all this very interesting because today, April 5th, is the 81st anniversary of Executive Order 6102, that was signed by President Franklin D. Roosevelt, making it illegal for you to possess gold. So this order, you may recall this, it criminalized the possession of monetary gold by any individual, partnership, association, or corporation. And one of the things that we're going to dig into, hour two of the program tonight, is some of this weirdness that's happening right now with finances involving gold, and then we're going to dig even deeper into the mystery of gold, and we're going to take it right back to the aliens that first came here and may have given us this original sense of value that we place on gold. We're going to talk about holy relics that are made of gold. We're going to dig into the mystery of gold. Does that excite you, Shelley Wright?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So, and in fact, some of these statistics that you go over are pretty profound. Are you a big gold historian, Shelley, or do you just mainly deal with the business side of things these days?
I mostly deal with the business side of things these days.
Yeah, okay.
Although and, I do have posted at the shop the actual order that you were talking about. We do have it framed and hanging in the shop.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm sure that your dad is probably a big historian, and father, Forrest.
Yes.
Father Forrest.
Yes. Yes, my son.
And you also are quite a historian, right?
Yes.
So you probably have some thoughts on this. So that's one of the things we're going to dig into hour two of the show tonight. And I've got this crazy list in front of me of things that we're going to try to talk about. I'm going to be breaking some very cool news here pretty soon about a new expedition that I'm planning to put together. But would you guys say it's safe to say spring has finally sprung?
Cautiously.
Yes, cautiously.
Really? Because, I don't know, recently it has been just as warm for you guys there in the Asheville area as it has been for me down here at the Puerto Rico Bermuda Triangle Base Camp.
Give me 2 weeks without sub-freezing weather, then we'll talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was reading this story from Fargo, North Dakota. A man there was arrested for clearing the snow off his property with a flamethrower, maximizing his time and efficiency.
What's wrong with that?
That's what I was going to say. What's wrong with that?
Well, I guess, there must be some problem with it. It says the neighborhood was treated with quite a show as he unleashed an inferno up on the mountainous snow palace that was his front yard. Neighbors to his immediate right and left noticed a bright orange cloud and could hear what they thought was Puff the Magic Dragon spewing mayhem all over hell, which prompted them to notify the police. They say it honestly sounded like a jet engine and looked like an atomic bomb was going off around their homes. They were scared to death.
Yes, officer, my neighbor, I don't like him. He's using fire to get rid of the snow. Please arrest him.
They were just jealous.
Yes.
Well, the man said he was simply fed up with battling the elements, and he did not possess the willpower to move the, quote, 4 billion tons of white BS, end quote, decided the only way to make winter end was to kill it with fire.
I know that feeling. Good for him.
You like this. Police say the man surrendered upon the arrival. His front yard looked like a hydrogen bomb had gone off, and police there say they think he was just happy to be done with snow removal, even if it did mean a trip to jail.
Hey, you get done with your snow removal, they give you a free ride and
and a nice hot three hots and a cot.
Exactly.
Well, hey, I would have enjoyed that. He should hire his services out. Okay, we're coming up on our first break. When we return, I'm just going to start digging into this pile, and we'll start working our way through it. I want to tell you about something very cool that I'm trying to plan that you might be able to participate in, and also a new UFO has been photographed and videotaped, and it is it's getting a lot of attention in Texas. I'll tell you about that when we return. This is the show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company tonight. Thanks for spending your evening with us. Brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Oh, la la. stop. Now you see her, now you don't. Now you see her, now you don't. You'll never match her, but you can have some fun. Maybe you'll get to hold her. But now you see her, and now you don't. Now you see her, and now you don't.
This is Speaking of Strange, brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can call them at 828-298-5402. Trust me, you're going to want to after you hear this show tonight, 828-298-5402. And if you are listening and you have access to the net, go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show. More information on topics discussed, links to some pretty cool stuff. For example, the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours and Ghost Hunts created by me. They are running strong now. It's the active season once again. So go to hauntedasheville.com to learn about the different tour options. HauntedAsheville.com. So, yes, we have plenty to dig into tonight. And let me go ahead and toss something out here that I think a lot of people will be excited about. This is the first time I've ever mentioned this. Now, Forrest, you know that over the years I have produced some pretty cool trips and expeditions.
Right.
We've done a number of cruises together. And we've gone to places that are a little closer to home. I produced one time, along with the Lemur team, an investigation of a big cavern in Tennessee. And then we did an investigation in Charleston at the old jail. I guess the last big trip that I helped produce was the trip to Transylvania that you went on, Miss Wright, which took us around Romania. And, of course, people come down here to Puerto Rico, and they do expeditions. Well, I have a new expedition that I am I'm trying to put together here. For one thing, Forrest, Shelley, are you guys at all into the Lord of the Rings movies?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, I remember when the very first Lord of the Rings movie came out, that was such a fantastic experience in the theater. I really enjoyed that. And, of course, now The Hobbit is making its run, and the final chapter of The Hobbit movie is going to come out this December, the third and final movie. And so when you watch these movies, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, you see these incredible, sweeping, amazing sets and fantastic scenery, and they shoot all of this stuff in New Zealand. So I've been working for a while on putting together a trip called In the Footsteps of the Hobbit. And basically, you go party with me in New Zealand, and we will go hop around and visit all of the sets, or at least some of the big sets, from Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, and check out some of this breathtaking scenery that you see on the big screen. So in order to do this, we're going to cut it off at 25 people. We need a minimum of 20 people to even do it, but we're going to cut it off at 25. And the trip would be this November, right before that last Hobbit movie comes out, and which, of course, in New Zealand is going to be the warm season down there. And basically, we go there to New Zealand, and the package that we're putting together here includes 8 nights and 3 different tours to movie sets, and the whole thing without meals is $3,950. So
that's actually not bad.
It's not to do all that, to fly to New Zealand.
How many days again?
It's 8 nights in a hotel.
Yeah.
We're looking for a minimum of 20 people or 10 couples. And for $3,950 just to fly all the way to New Zealand, have 8 nights in a hotel and 3 tours to movie sets lined up, I mean, this should be pretty kick-ass, if I can say so myself. So if any of you listening want to go on this trip, we have to get it locked in pretty quickly. There is a payment plan if you're interested in doing it. You just need to send me an email and let me know that you are serious about doing this trip. And then if I get that minimum of 20 good people that I need, then this will all happen. So this is the very first time I'm just, you know, letting everybody know that we have an opportunity to do this. So you can go to joshuapwarren.com. Or just email me through ShadowboxENT, because my company is Shadowbox Enterprises. Email ShadowboxENT@gmail.com.
Actually, that comes out to be less than $500 a day. And, you know, pretty much any vacation you go on or any place you travel to, you're going to spend at least $500 a day if you want to do anything significant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, you can go by yourself and you know, do the New Zealand thing, but it's so much more fun when you go with a group of people and you have, we always throw in little special things when we do our expeditions and our big trips, don't we, Shelley?
And you're
yes,
luck,
we do.
And you're luck, Mr. Warren, you always are the you're like a Forrest Gump type character that always runs into like special people on these everywhere you go, and who knows who you're going to run into. Maybe you'll even see Peter Jackson.
It's very possible. I mean, if we get all this locked in soon enough, then I'm going to start working on as many special little surprises as possible. So everybody let me know, you know, shadowboxent@gmail.com if you want to be one of the 25 people. It's actually less than 25 because I'm going to be going. Lauren will be going. And so that takes us down to 23 right there. So... In the footsteps of the Hobbit.
Greatest adventure lies ahead.
Precisely. We'll be hearing a lot more of that song.
Oh, God, no.
The greatest adventure. How does that sound, guys? Pretty cool?
Sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds great.
All right. Here is a strange story that has made some news from Amarillo, Texas. Witnesses there have photographed a triangle-shaped UFO. Defense technology blog Ares on the Aviation Week website explains the craft was photographed by both Steve Douglas and Dean Musket. The mysterious object was reportedly accompanied by 2 other craft. According to Aviation Week's defense expert Bill Sweetman, who monitors aircraft radio communication, they picked up some apparently related voice traffic suggesting the unidentifiable aircraft were piloted rather than remote controlled. They think this is some kind of a new classified military plane. Quote, the photos tell us more about what the mysterious stranger isn't than what it is. The size is very hard to determine. For example, although the image size at contrailing height suggests it is bigger than an X-47B, the basic shape, while it resembles Boeing's blended wing body studies or the Swift Killer Bee unmanned air system, is different from anything known to have flown at full size, lacking the notched trailing edge of Northrop Grumman's full-size designs. Now, folks, let me pause to say, I know that's a lot of technical stuff you're hearing, but this is interesting to me because they say if this craft is what they believe it is, it might be designed for above-atmosphere flight, meaning it could reach any destination on Earth in less than an hour. I wonder if this could be similar to what I saw in Nevada in 2008. Were you there that night, Forrest?
I was driving in that night. I missed.
Oh, okay.
I got there later that evening.
Okay. We're already up on a break. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about that, and then I have a story here that's quite exciting about a legitimate scientist who says he has proof via NASA that there is alien life. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Flying high, bird of prey, bird of prey, in the summer skies, flying high, bird of prey.
Presented by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can call Shelly right there at 828-298-5402. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. By the way, if you go to sunshinesimple.com, you can still purchase a Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home for $200 less and free shipping and handling. Go watch the free video there at sunshinesimple.com. You know, I was talking about the fact that I'm trying to put together a little expedition to go to New Zealand. Well, let me also tell everybody that in less than a month, I am going to be speaking in New York State. I'm going to be one of the speakers And I think I'm even going to be maybe leading a little ghost hunt at the Para History Con in Lake George, New York. The lineup for this thing is amazing. I mean, in fact, so many great people are going to be there. I don't even want to mention who they are without having the whole list in front of me. But I can tell you right off the bat that I know the folks who produced the Oddities show is going to be there, are going to be there from Obscura. Dave Schrader's going to be there. A big, big, big list of people that I'll give to you at some point. There's going to be a link posted for you at speakingofstrange.com. So that's the weekend of May 2nd in Lake George, New York, up in the Adirondack Mountains, Para History Con. It should be a very fun time, and I hope that you will come and hang out with me and other investigators there. So, yes, in 2008, I suppose it was, when Forrest and I were at the International UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada, I had a pretty darn amazing experience. I was actually there as a speaker. It was the first and, in fact, the only time for me presenting at the UFO Congress. And one evening, I went out in the field with Dean Worsing and his son, Dean Jr., and some other friends, and looked up in the sky with third-generation night vision goggles and saw a gigantic V-shaped craft slowly flying across the desert sky. It was not visible to the naked eye, but it was extremely visible through the night vision goggles in the infrared realm. It was, I honestly, like an eerie, life-changing experience to see something so huge silently gliding across the sky over top of us. I don't know if it was alien or if it was secret government technology, but I think of that when I hear a story like the one I just read to you, that now some type of a large triangular craft is being seen and photographed in Texas, and people are saying that this may be part of a new breed of craft designed for atmosphere flight. So these are craft that very quickly make their way out of the lower levels of the atmosphere that are dense to the areas above the atmosphere where there is less pressure, less resistance, and you're basically in the lower regions of outer space. And once you get up there, there's so little resistance that these craft are able to fly at unbelievable speeds and could reach anywhere on Earth in less than an hour. How amazing is that? We'll keep our eye on this, but, you know, the technology exists, I'm sure, so it probably shouldn't be that surprising that such a thing is out there. And by the way, if you're curious about what night vision technology can do for you, you know, I'm working on some systems right now in Puerto Rico to capture some of the incredible UFO activity down here using night vision. But there are night vision for different purposes, for different needs, whether it's survival or hunting, or if you're a researcher, go to paratemporal.com, P-A-R-A, paratemporal.com, and take a look at some of the footage that's been captured with night vision. If you'd like a pair, contact us, and we will do our best to find what you're looking for and give you a better price than anybody else in the world. Speaking of these strange technologies that may or may not be related to life on other planets, this is a pretty interesting story. Headline, Scientist Believes Evidence of Alien Life on Mars Was Destroyed. Astrobiologist Richard Hoover spent more than 46 years working at NASA. And in that time, he established the Astrobiology Research Group at the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center and became internationally known for his research on microfossils and meteorites. Hoover has published many papers in which he asserts the discovery of extraterrestrial life in meteorites. Hoover no longer works for NASA, but he continues his controversial research and is currently an astrobiologist at Athens State University and a visiting research professor with the Center for Astrobiology at the University of Buckingham. Hoover discussed his research in a lecture at the 2014 International UFO Congress. Okay, this is the same event that I was just talking about that I spoke at. So at the event, Hoover sat down with a journalist from the Huffington Post, and he said, quote, "I am absolutely convinced that life is not restricted to the planet Earth because I have found the remains of life forms that are absolutely, conclusively extraterrestrial," end quote. Now, let me pause and remind you folks, these are words that are being spoken by the man who established the astrobiology research group at the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center. So for him to say, quote, "I am absolutely convinced I have found the remains of life forms that are absolutely conclusively extraterrestrial," that's pretty profound. He goes on to say about the critics, quote, "These critics will not debate me in an open scientific forum. I would be perfectly willing to go to the Cosmos Club in Washington, to go to any university, and have an academic debate and scientific discussion," end quote. So, if this guy feels so confident, what's the nature of this cover-up, and why would this be destroyed? Unless the policy that the governments have in general is, if there is any evidence of a life form outside of Earth, no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is, we do not disclose that. It's so valuable, it's so potentially powerful, that it is automatically going to be a part of our national security protocol to keep this to ourselves. Because who knows? I mean, even if you find some alien microorganism, that could be unimaginably powerful when it comes to something like biological warfare. So, because, you know, ultimately, the people who really control everything are those who control the military. You know, at the end of the day, no matter who you are, how influential you are, it's the guys who have the big guns who can determine who lives and dies. And so, you know, I understand that policy in a world that is as chaotic and violent and unpredictable as ours. But on the other hand, how long can these secrets truly be kept? So this is also quite fascinating because it ties into a story that I'm going to dig into, or at least I plan to dig into, next hour when we start talking about gold. And I mentioned that I want to discuss some about the potential relationship between gold and aliens. Well, there's a new story that I'm going to talk some about, which has mind-boggling implications. And it's about how that all these years that SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, has been putting these large radio satellite antennas all over the place, searching for signals, may have just been sort of a waste of time and money. Because now there is scientific evidence that demonstrates that whatever the aliens out there may be using to communicate is far, far, far more advanced than any type of crude radio wave. And we'll get to that in a lot more hour number two. But when we come back, I've got a story here for you from Vancouver about a pizzeria selling some very special pies. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop.
To buy 100 pounds of yeast, fancy copper line. Everybody knew that he made money.
So soon you'll take me up in your arms, too late to beg you. Or cancel it, though I know it must be the killing time.
Presented by Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and next hour we are digging into the mystery of gold. What's happening right now in the world related to gold? This happens to be the anniversary of Executive Order 6102, which outlawed the private possession of most gold here in the United States 81 years ago. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening with it now, and then we're going to really dig deeper into the mystery of gold, going all the way back to the aliens that I believe valued gold. The first interdimensional visitors, we're going to talk about holy relics, and it's going to lead us down one of those rabbit holes, so you want to stick around for that. A few more stories here to end out this first hour. One is from Vancouver in Canada. One Canadian pizzeria there is saying, to get high is quite literally as easy as pie. The cafe is making headlines for its pot-infused pizzas. You go there to a pot-friendly establishment. They say patrons are even encouraged to bring your own cannabis. They'll give you some smoke vaporizers. You sit around and eat pizza made with mainly organic and local ingredients. It has a crust made with whole wheat. There are hemp hearts, which are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, and oatmeal flour. Can you imagine how well that would do in Asheville, guys?
That would be, I mean... That would be awesome in Asheville.
This is the remedy to a lagging economy. And, you know, I've been saying pretty much my whole adult life that there's no reason that marijuana shouldn't be legalized. And it's finally happening. It's just taking time for people to die off and economies to suffer enough. And, you know, it's going to happen. It's happening.
I'm going to have one of your marijuana pizzas, eh?
Yeah, exactly. From the Huffington Post, let's see here. Apparently, a Utah woman is facing a slew of charges. They say that she tried to set her ex-boyfriend's house on fire by leaving a pound of bacon burning on the stove. This woman, whose name is literally Cameo Crispy, yes, her name is Crispy, 31 years old, is charged with arson, burglary, and a number of other things. They say that police got a call complaining about her. Officers arrived at the scene, saw smoke coming out of the front door, and an obviously impaired Crispy inside. The officer says there was a wood stove left open, hot coals on the floor, a cookie sheet with a pound of bacon on it was sitting on top of a stove burner set to high. It was severely burned, smoking badly. The woman was pretty messed up. She had a high blood alcohol content, and she apparently admitted that she was trying to start a fire in the house to get back at her former flame.
Crispy bacon.
That's right. Crispy bacon, and maybe she was, you know, eating one of those pies beforehand. But I read that story and then immediately saw this other story, which is about a brand new Oscar Mayer iPhone device. It's essentially an alarm clock, but it's a dongle that plugs into the bottom.
A what?
A dongle. It plugs into the bottom of your iPhone, and it wakes you up by firing out a scented bacon spray in the morning as you are emerging from bed. So, in addition to the bacon odor, it also plays the sound of cooking bacon to accompany the smell. Of course, they say this could lead to a massive amount of disappointment each morning since there is no actual bacon being prepared. But the concept is pretty close to some of these other plugins, they say, that will shoot out similar odors to represent various types of notifications, including fresh-cut roses, lavender, rosemary, strawberries, and coffee. And so this is a whole new area that's being pioneered, plugging things into your phone as if you needed something else to stick in your pocket that's going to shoot out a little aroma for you at the appropriate time. Maybe they need a little sensor, and every time you fart, it just shoots out some strawberry juice or something. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the mystery of gold, both now on this planet, in the past, and elsewhere in the cosmos. It's the show of the unusual. The unusual. Stick around for more coming up on Speaking of Strange.